Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
Well, we're going to continue in on our series here. As we've been going through the month of May, we focused on mothers. We called it Mother's May. And now in the month of June, we're focusing on fathers. With it being Father's Day, we've been focusing on our men. A couple people that I do want to say a special hello to is Lisa and Jenny, who I work with at TLC, are here. It's good to see you ladies here as well. And I also love seeing Robbie in the house. Morris and Robbie worshiping together is a pretty neat father-son thing. Kayla, I'm still getting used to not calling you Kayla Bear, but it's been like 2 years, but working on it. But anyway, it's fun to see parents and kids worship together. Don, love watching you worship here with your son. Good stuff. There are moments in life that we want to seize. There are these times whenever the time is short and the window is short that you want to maximize a moment. Because moments move quickly, and the time where those doors are closing happens quick. Can anybody with less hair than me say amen to that? Time moves. And you're like, man, how did I become 80? Like, it just moved quickly. This last January, Alyssa and I were at the Indiana Yearly Meetings Pastors Retreat in January. They had it in Madison, Indiana. Madison is becoming one of our favorite places. It's right there on the river. It's beautiful. We're at Clifty Falls at the State Park. We're walking trails. We do all kinds of fun stuff. We had this break between meetings after dinner and before the next session. And most people just kind of like take a walk, or they might go back to their room or whatever. And I get this really terrible but fun idea. And just because it's a bad idea doesn't mean it won't be a good time. You know what I'm saying? And it was a bad idea, but it was a good time. And so I said, Alyssa, what we need to do during our break is we need to go down to the river and jump in. It's January and we should get in the river. And she's like, I don't think I like that. Like, I'm cold sitting in this room. And I'm like, let's do it. Like, this is a moment. We need to maximize this moment. And because Alyssa's just as crazy as I am, she goes, let's do it. So we hop in the car. We drive down to the bridge. We get out of the car at this park area. And we, you know, run down. And she's in, like, all of her clothes. And I take my shirt off, at least. But we walk down on the boat dock all the way out into the river. And it is like just melted ice is all it is. It is freezing cold. And we get out there and we go to the shoulders. We didn't go all the way under, but we go to the shoulders and we're down. We're screaming. We're alive. The heart rate is just through the roof. And I mean, it is a moment, right, of remembering. We jump in the car, crank the heat, and we're off and running. We're drying ourselves off on the way back to run right back into the meeting. And we sit down and then we're back in the meeting. Other people had a boring break, and we had an amazing time of a break. How many of y'all know you have the choice to do with your time what you want to do with your time, and we can allow it to slip by, or we can maximize moments and create memories. And I just want to encourage all of the men out there to seize the day, to maximize the moment, to get after it while the getting is good, because there are some things that we want to do, whether it's with our families, our spouse, our children, grandchildren. Your storyline will play out according to the intentionality that you get a hold of every day. If we just want to sleep through it, then your story is going to be a snoozer. If you want to maximize it, then you're going to have some great stories to share. You're going to have something that's going to honor the Lord. It's going to look a lot like God, because he's a get after it sort of a God. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5, it says, the purpose of a man's heart is like deep water. Or I might even liken it unto the Ohio River. And it is moving and it gets around and there's some depth to it. And man, does it cause you to come alive. And a man of understanding draws it out like buckets. Just pulling out some depth of a man's purpose. And men, there's a depth to you. In Genesis chapter 1, when God designed you and he created you, he created man and he says, this is good. I want to remind you, men, when you show up, when a godly man shows up, it's good. When a godly man re-enters strong as a godly man into his marriage, that's a good thing. When dad, full of God and full of the Holy Spirit, walks into the home, God says, ooh, that is good. I designed him and I stamped my image and my likeness upon him. He looks like me. He speaks like me. He carries his energy like me. He gets after it like me. There's a depth to this man. I've designed him to be very much like me. He's the bearer of my image. He's Imago Dei. He bears the image of God. There is a depth to us, men, that I believe that God is calling us into. We are a gift to this world. In the same way that women are a gift to this world, men, I just want you to know that you are a gift. There's a purpose and a plan. There's a depth to your life. And when men lead courageously, not cowardly, but when men lead courageously with the right amount of tender and the right amount of tough, it's a good thing. I want to talk to us this morning about three different things. Number one, who. Number two, do. And number three, serve. So if I can put these in question form, who are you, what will you do, and who will you serve? So point number one here is who. Who are you? We must know our identity. And it seems like there's a lot of misidentity today. Men who don't know who they are, men who are confused, and not just on who I am or what my purpose or my plan is, but really knowing, am I a man? Am I the fullness of God? Am I supposed to be a man and walk out in who I am? There was a big time misidentification a few years back, and maybe you remember this story. It happened in our backyard with some Taylor University students, the misidentification of a couple students. It was on April 26, 2006. A Taylor van traveling home from Fort Wayne on I-69, they were heading southbound. They were hit head-on by a semi-truck. The impact was so intense that it threw people 50 feet from the van. And the crinkled metal and the shattered glass exploded everywhere. Backpacks, purses, student IDs were spread all across the highway and the side ditches everywhere. The crash killed 5 people, including Laura Van Ryan, who is the girl on the left, and Whitney Surak, who is the one on the right. Whitney, she's the one on the right, her body was found hanging over a fence, and she was in a coma. In a rush to get all the bodies into ambulances and trying to save lives, EMTs were grabbing whatever they could find, and they grabbed a student ID, and they pinned Whitney's badge onto Laura's body and sent her off, and she's in an EMT and she's gone. The girls, not even knowing it, but their identities at that point were switched. And Whitney was now Laura, and Laura was now Whitney. The Van Ryan family was told that their daughter was alive. The Surak family was told that their daughter was deceased. Because the road rash was so bad on their faces and the burns, they had to wrap their heads and their faces in so many bandages that they couldn't even see or make out whose faces were what. They had so much brain damage that they believed that Whitney was going to be forever brain dead and a vegetable. The doctors told them, hey, if your daughter acts a little bit weird or a little bit different or a little bit off, it's because of the brain damages that she has received. The girls look similar. They're about the same size. They're blonde. They've got similar facial features. And the family disbelieved the doctors and they couldn't see all of her facial features. For 5 weeks, the families didn't know which was who. The Surak family grieved and they held a funeral for what they thought was their daughter. The Van Ryans, they're holding the hand of this girl who they believe is their daughter. The Van Ryans attend the Surak family attends a funeral not knowing that they're burying someone else's daughter. Can you imagine going to a funeral and it's for your own child and you didn't even know it? 5 weeks later, Whitney wakes up from this coma. The Van Ryan family begins to notice some things that are a little bit peculiar and things that don't seem to add up that seemingly would be their daughter, Laura. And they ask her, would you write your name? Laura, write your name down. As Laura grabs the pen, she writes her name and she writes, Whitney. The Surak's joy was the Van Ryan's pain. and the Van Ryans were at a loss of confusion. Someone else's pain became their joy as they got their daughter back. And the story continues as it plays on, and it's played on here now for about 17 years. The case of misidentification is devastating. It's devastating for the people. It's devastating for the families around when you don't know who you are. Or you get assigned names from other people who tell you who you are when you're really not. Man, I want to tell you that we've been sold a pretty rough bag of goods. If you were told that when you become a Christian, your identity is come to church and we'll teach you how to sing and clap. That's what we do as Christians. We just want to train you men to be nice. Hopefully we can get some table manners. Maybe you can tuck your shirt in and let's just try to be nice. And you got sold a raw bag of goods to not know who you are as a warrior man, as a man who can lead, as one that's got a vision for his community, one who wants to come in and romance that woman that you have, one that wants to come in and lead a family and spearhead a better story for your family, to not snooze on the family, but to show up and to lead well. If you believe that being a good man is being a nice man, then you've gotten it wrong. We want to be nice, but man, we've got such a bigger call upon our lives, and we've lived into an identity that just isn't us. In Isaiah chapter 42, verse 13, it says this, "The Lord will march out like a mighty man, a warrior, a hero, and a champion. He will provoke his zeal like a man of war, full of fury. He will shout his battle cry. He will crush his enemies." Come on, man. This is our design. This is who we are. This is who we're called to be. And so I want us to be men that can embrace our identity as leaders. Leadership is not something that you do. Leader is who you are. Leadership is the influence that you carry. You just are this person. It's every move that you make. It's every word that you say. It's the atmosphere in which you live. I'll tell you this, being a vulnerable moment. Alyssa and the kids planned something for me yesterday. As I'm coming in, I'm clueless on what is about to happen. Okay, I don't know the story. I don't know what's going on. And the kids start asking me questions about, hey, did you get this? And did you grab that? And did you go that? And I go, hey guys, just assume that I know nothing. Because I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on. Well, I delivered that in a tone that did not land well with the wife or the kids. Like, well, you're not appreciative, and you know, why did you, you know, say that you're clueless? I'm like, sorry, I'm pretty clueless, but I should have said it better. Guys, even our tone, our energy, anybody else, you realize every move you make carries some sort of a weight of an influence. Even if you're doing it on purpose or not on purpose, men, I want us to lock in to where, man, I am bringing Jesus into every situation. I'm bringing my best. I'm going to lift the energy. I'm going to lift heads, encourage hearts everywhere I go. It's who I am. It's what I do. And taking on a mindset like this, it's who I am. Come on, man, let's get who am I? Who am I in this situation? Who do I need to be in this situation? Do I need to be the encourager? I need to be the life giver? I need to be the corrector and come into the fullness of who I am. Recently, I took Nora on a daddy-daughter dance, and we went to the daddy-daughter dance at Summitville Elementary. It was a ties and tiaras, so moms and their kids, dads and their kids, but I went with Nora, so we called it the daddy-daughter. So we get this, we go out here, and guys, I'll tell you, one of the things that I identify is, what I don't identify as a dancer. I'm not a dancer. I wouldn't say, put me in the same line as Usher. That's not me. I can't do that. I've always wanted to be in a boy band, but I just can't do it. And so I don't identify as a dancer, but I wanted to appeal to a higher self. To a higher identity. Rather than saying, well, I'm not that, so I won't do that, I started saying, but what I do identify is, I identify as a fully alive dad. I identify as a dad that shows up for my daughter when the moment matters. I identify as a dad that when Nora says, come on, let's do it, I'm like, yeah, come on, let's do it. Let's jump in the river. Let's jump in the center of the gym and dance and spin and twirl and make a fool of ourselves as long as we have the greatest night ever. That's what all that matters. And so, Nora, here we go. We're going to go for it. And we're in the middle of the gym and we're swinging around. She's going between my legs and up and over like this way. Flip her over my head. She's on my shoulders. Her dress is like over my head. That was weird. And I flip her back down and we're just dancing. We're just having a blast. And I want to encourage you, men. You might say, man, I don't identify as a Bible reader. I don't identify as a prayer. And I just want to encourage you, but identify as the leader of your home. Can we agree that that is your identity? And as I identify with that, then I'm going to start reading scripture to my family. As I identify as the leader of my home, then I want to say, man, I want to pray with my kids or with my spouse. I want to pray over my grandkids. I got to appeal to my highest self, not to my weak self, because my weakness is dancing. And I can't live into my weak self. I want to live into my best, highest self. And say, man, I want to live my best self, which is going to be the leader of our home. So when I know who I am, then I'll know what to do. I want to ask you, man, what's the purpose of you being saved? Why did God save you? Just so that you can die and go to heaven someday? And I would contend, no. And for women too, no. God did not just save you so that you can just die and go to heaven someday. There's language in the Bible that has to do with what we do with our faith, not just showing up and saying a prayer, but language like fight the good fight. Prove yourself worthy. Faith without deeds is dead. Show yourself as a workman approved. Die to yourself. Get rid of your pride. Be like a soldier. Fight the battle to win. Like, this is some language that's saying, men, come on, let's go and let's lead. Perhaps we say, well, God, I thought salvation was free. I thought that I could just say a prayer and I'm good to go. And I would say, yes, salvation is free to us. It came at a cost for Christ. But I just want to contend that we will have some judgment days. Not the judgment of our salvation, but the judgment of what we did with our salvation. Jesus says that the overcomer will reign with me. Jesus' last words in Revelation are, behold, I'm coming quickly and the reward is with me. So good news, man, is that your life matters. What you do matters. It matters so much that there will be a reward system based upon what we've done with our life. What we did with this breath in our lungs, God will reward us. This isn't like a t-ball game. This isn't t-ball where you can strike out and still get a trophy. This isn't t-ball where everybody scores and everybody wins and everybody it gets whatever. And in heaven, it's just going to be like, you know, a socialistic economy where everybody gets everything, whatever they want. There are rewards. What did you do with your faith? It's not enough just to be saved, man. Come on, let's fight to win. Let's go out and engage with our families. Let's seize the moment. Let's be intentional with every moment of our lives. We know that our life matters and that we'll have rewards accordingly. And that should fire us up. Man, we get to be a part of something. And I believe that part of what we get to do is we get to fight for something. Men throughout Scripture were forged and formed and fashioned in these wilderness times whenever they would fight some sort of a wild beast, whether it was Satan or a literal beast like a lion. We see pictures of like Elijah, John the Baptist, men that walked in the wilderness. They wore animal hair. They ate bugs and locusts. These were wild men. Moses, who lived in the wilderness. Samson, who wrestled with lions. Jesus, who was in the wilderness and he fights the beast himself. Men, there is a battle to fight that we must do every single day. And whether you're fighting lions or tigers or bears, oh my. I don't know if that's necessarily your fight, but I'll tell you that there is a lion that's crouching at the door. And it's seeking those that he may devour. There is in 1 Peter 5:8, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Genesis 4:7, if you do what's right, will you not be accepted? But if you don't do what's right, sin is crouching at your door and it desires you, but you must rule over it. Man, I want to encourage us, not only do we lead others, but we got to lead ourselves well. There is a battle to fight, and many times it's raging within us. It's lust, it's pride, it's ambition, It's conquering. Or maybe it's the opposite. It's lazy. It's blame shifting. It's lack of responsibility. It's I'd rather play than work. I would rather consume upon myself rather than to lay my life down to give it to someone else. Whatever these sliding slopes toward the enemy behavior are, there is a battle to fight, men. And that's good news. That actually is good news. You're called into a battle to fight. In our men's group, and I want to encourage every man, be there. Be at men's group. Saturday mornings, 9 a.m. This is where we sharpen our swords. This is where we challenge one another. This is where we get a higher vision. This is where we dive into the Word of God. We just really, really get a message to men on how we want to lead ourselves and lead our families. But we wrote some statements, and we wrote who statements, who are you? And so there were statements like, I am, and then fill in these blanks. And then we wrote do statements. So I am this, therefore what I do is this. So here's mine. I am a father. Therefore, I snuggle in bunk beds. I play catch. Relearn angles of the obtuse triangles. I did pass sixth grade math, by the way, this year. I don't buy something that I want so that I can provide something that they need. I walk through the door with energy. Teach them about a passionate Jesus who loves them. Learn finances so I can invest wisely. I get a PhD in my kids and learn them and I feed their interest. I ride bikes, coach teams, hold hands, do makeup makeovers, read them books, take care of my physical body so they can have a dad that wrestles and chases, tickles, climbs trees, builds forts, does their sports with them. I change my diet so that I can do whatever possible with them. I work out so that I can live longer with them, be strong to defend them, and provide an example of physical stewardship for them. I am happy. I correct with compassion. I am a husband. Therefore, I work to provide. I submit to other leaders in my life. I read like crazy. I plan dates. I create safe atmospheres. I romance her through serving, dancing, dining well, words of affirmation, back rubs, soft responses, touches she enjoys. Alyssa liked that one. Usually I do touches that I enjoy, but she wanted touches that she enjoys. Learn her interests, feed them, lead in forgiveness, always believe the best of her. Take care of my physical body for her eyes, for her heart, to provide my wife with a desirable man. I change my diet so that I can do as much possible with her and for her. I work out so I can live longer with her to be strong to defend her. I am anointed by Jesus. Therefore, I preach the gospel, love the next person in front of me, burn with the same passions he burns for. I have a vision for my community for transformation, raising up other husbands and fathers. I am a man of God. Therefore, I serve on boards, lead leaders, tithe. I slay lions like Samson, drop giants like David, set captives free like Moses, leave the place better than I found it. I am a freedom fighter. Therefore, I lead men's groups, go into schools, sit in locker rooms, ride school buses, counsel, challenge, hold accountable, encourage, call, text, meet with, and stand beside. I am a child of God. Therefore, I receive my Father's love. I always have a chance. I am not timid. I am not scared. I don't play small. I defeat every foe that rears its head. I am bold as a lion. I sleep well because lions never lose sleep from the opinions of sheep. I trust every time. I worship with passion. Come on, man. Get dialed in. That's a dog that can hunt right there. That is a dog that wants to get after it right there. Man, when I get clear on who I am, then I will know what to do. When I get clear that I'm a fully alive dad, and now daddy-daughter's dance, I'm really clear on what I need to do in this moment. It's perfectly clear. It's time to dance, baby. Let's cut a rug. All right, let's roll an ankle and cut a rug, because we're going to do this thing, and we're going to have an absolute blast. Okay, here's a situation that just approached my family. Okay, who am I? I'm the patriarch. I'm the leader. Okay, I need to tap into the Holy Spirit. Okay, now I know what to do. I need to lead. Men, it's who before do. Know who you are. When I know who I am, beyond a shadow of a doubt, when the situation comes, I'm clear. I know who I am. Clarity is king. And now I know what to do when these situations arise. Come on, man. There's a challenge to us men to lead well. And finally, I'll challenge us with this. Know who we are, know what to do, and then know who you're called to serve. We're fighting these battles, I believe, for our children and for the next generation. And for every person that's in here, we're hopefully leaving this place in a better place for our children's children, so that they would have a church to worship in, so that they would have a community that they could lay their heads in bed safe at night, so that they can have a school system where they can thrive, where we're planting trees that we may never eat the fruit from. But I'm willingly to lay my life down in service to someone else, believing I can fight for a better day and a better nation and a better country so that our children can have a better day. King David, he fought in some pretty intense battles. King David, it seems like every turn of his life, he was always fighting all of the time. To leave it to some sons that hopefully could experience times of peace. His son, Solomon, his name literally means peace. I want to turn this over. I want to turn my life from fighting into seasons of peace. Come on, I would contend that a wise man is one that will go after a battle so that he can leave some peace behind for his children. In Psalm 127, verse 3, it says this, "Children are a heritage from the Lord, an offspring and a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they fight their enemies at the city gates." I'll tell you, before children are like a quiver full, they first are a handful. They are a handful. There is a lot to raising these kids and grandkids. There is a lot to it. But I want to encourage you, there is a promise that is coming. And man, blessed is the man whose quiver is full of children. He has arrows to shoot at the enemy's game plan. He has arrows to shoot into the community, into education, into government, into religion, into the world today, into business. We're going to shoot some pretty straight arrows that are going to make an impact. So fathers, I just want to tell you that you are the biggest influence in your child's life. Unless you're not. Unless that's been turned over to the school bus and whatever they pick up there, or to TikTok and whatever they're learning there, or to their best buddies down the road, or to whatever they find online. Men, I would challenge you, re-enter the scene. Re-enter with a heart full of love, diving in to try to mold and craft these young minds as much as we possibly can. In Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, it says this, "I looked for someone among them who could build up the wall, who could stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so that I would not destroy it, but I found no one." And God forbid that his eyes would look around Indiana, central Indiana, the Madison and Grant County area, and his eyes would say, "I can't find a man that will stand up, that will stand in the gap, that will lead, that will speak truth, that will make some really clear lines and boundaries, that will help bring kids with some clarity and some focus and point them to Jesus, that would encourage men to be strong in their marriages and to lead, that would encourage men to lead their children, that would seize moments, that would create memories, that would get a bigger vision than just surviving, but thriving in their families." And God would say, "Man, I found a spot right here that's raising up some men. I found a spot that's got some fathers and some grandfathers, some uncles, some community members, some coaches, some teachers, people that are engaged in this community." That he would say, "I found a spot. That's my goal, my desire." Jesus put it simply to us like this. He said, "You will know them by their fruit." In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 16. man, I want my fruit to be one of a life of an impact, right? I challenged the men yesterday as we sat downstairs just under where we're at right now in the basement. We talked about this, and I'll wrap with this. Ezekiel, he gets this call of God to build the temple. And the very next book, it's Nehemiah. And in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4, the walls have been torn down. And he says that he sat and he wept because these walls around that was protecting the most precious thing, the temple. But men, probably the most precious thing that we have is our families, our children, our grandchildren. And it's falling apart. And he wept. And he got really focused. He got really determined. He took extreme ownership and he says, I will do whatever it takes to rebuild this wall. Men, perhaps you're sitting here on Father's Day and you're saying, Father's Day isn't awesome for me. This isn't a great day. Everything that you're talking about, I just kind of missed it. I didn't get it from my dad. I didn't give it to my kids. And it's just a tough day. Don't know. Maybe that's a story. For Nehemiah, he just sat broken. It was tough and it was hard. And he said, but I want to get to work. And I want to restore, if it's possible, I want to restore what's been lost. And he started rebuilding the wall. Men, perhaps there's some rebuilding that needs to take place. What's that first brick that you're willing to put back into that wall? What's the stone that you're going to pick up and say, you know what, I need to ask for forgiveness. I need to go make that phone call. I need to invite them to Christmas. We haven't spent Christmas together in a decade. But we're gonna make some big time moves to start rebuilding this thing and getting it back together. We got some young men in here. Young men, before you're a decade into it, before you're two decades into it, I would encourage you, start living a compelling story now that your kids would peek in on and say, I want to be like Dad. That's an enticing story. Rather than Dad's a boring story, I'll go find my own adventure. Men, come on. God is calling for our best. Know who you are. Don't get mistaken identity. Know who you are. Know what you're going to do. And then let's serve the snot out of the people around us. Because that's the call of God upon our life. Come on, we can do this, men. We can do this. Can we do this? I believe that we can do this. Yeah, all right, I like that. That's a good hearty amen. We can do this. I would like for all the fathers in the house, would you just stand? I just want to say a prayer over the dads out there, whether it's been good, bad, or ugly, God's called you to it. Let's be faithful in it. Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for these men that are here, God. We just ask you for your face and your favor to shine upon our men. Lord, we're asking that the father heart of God would be released upon them today. God, as we say, a happy Father's Day to them. We're just asking, God, that you would strengthen our men. God, that they would be known by their fruit, and the fruit is men that lead well, men that have strong families, men that love and serve and lay their lives down in the same way that you have. Jesus, we bless you and we honor you today. In your name we pray. Amen.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.